Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We will be discussing future action because college football is only about 6 weeks away from getting underway. So the season is right around the corner. And I saw a press release or something. Maybe I saw it on Twitter. I don't know where. But I heard we added a new college football writer to our staff here at CBS. He's going to be doing it all year long for CBSSports.com. Barrett Salee joins us here on CBS Sports Radio to get us ready for the college football season. Barrett, are you ready for some football?
I am. After, 4 days in Hoover, Alabama, talking to all these players and coaches, it's right around the corner, and fall camp will kick off here in a couple weeks. So, it seems crazy, but now they have that early season weekend, five games on August 26th. So it'll get here before we know it.
The conferences you mentioned spend time down Alabama, and the SEC had its media conference this week, ACC as well. I'll ask you about Jimbo Fisher in just a second, but they get some coverage out of this. They get some buzz. They get some juice out of it. The NFL doesn't do anything like this. Is the NFL missing out, or is this a sign that colleges still got to try and force people to pay attention to them?
Well, I mean, I think the NFL it doesn't need to do anything like this. I think what happened was, this is an event that's gone on from the SEC's perspective for 40 years now. And in years past, it was, an informational session, right? So, you learn about what the players have signed, qualified, which players have transferred, who has transferred in, whatnot. And now it's more of a celebration. So what they did essentially was find a way to, keep college football in the discussion from a media standpoint throughout the course of the offseason. The NFL does that in a variety of different ways itself, with free agency and with the draft and with the combine and with all the other stuff, OTAs and whatnot. This is essentially that. It's a news trigger that they've sort of exploited to a point now where it's way far beyond an informational session, because for the most part, if you're watching college football, if you're a college football fan, everything that the coaches and players tell you, you already know. But more so than anything else, it's just a celebration, a welcome, a kickoff event, a convention, so to speak, that just so happens to be, from the SEC and ACC's perspective, during Major League Baseball All-Star break, which is the slowest time in sports.
Right, which is smart, the timing, the way they handle it. I give college football credit for that. Do you think it has any impact on recruiting? Because it sounded to me like a couple of coaches, while they were up there doing their duty to promote college football, were also trying to do a little sales pitch on their own university and going forward for those who aren't signed up to play and reporting for preseason workouts this week or next week, whatever. But those who are still in high school, because everyone's paying attention to everything these days, and if you got a chance to reach out and touch someone, why not use a conference media session to do it?
Oh, yeah. Head coaches are always recruiting. They don't ever stop recruiting, too. That's why, Will Muschamp, and yeah, I was like, for those that have never been to SEC Media Day, there's seven or eight different rooms, and usually I go to a small room, get actual content and ask actual important questions. But the main room that you see on TV, I was in there for Will Muschamp, and it was like I actually tried at a point to actually rattle off his speech verbatim. And I was pretty close. It was like 65-70% accurate, because, they get up there, they talk about players that go to the NFL, how much success they've had, their brand new, X amount of million-dollar facility that they just built, and how the training staff is getting everybody prepared better than they've ever been prepared, and all of this stuff. So, yeah, it's all recruiting. I think the one thing that coaches try to do in this setting is that they try to explain the positives, ignore the negatives, and always speak subconsciously to, specific recruits that are paying attention or care about one or two things. So when you, as a fan, hear Will Muschamp say, well, we're finishing up our $50 million training facility, and it's going to be state-of-the-art and the best in the SEC. The fan rolls his eyes like, whatever, I don't care. But I guarantee you that's geared towards one or two prospects who have questions whether that thing's going to get finished or not.
Understood. And that's good recruiting right there. We'll give Muschamp credit. Is it still, and I watch some of it, and you can watch it online, TV stations pick it up and the like, and I watched some, if nothing else, some highlights. I still get the feeling it's Saban and everybody else. And everybody else has done pretty well and found ways to be competitive with Alabama and take their own championship runs, but it's still Alabama on top and then the drop-off thereafter. Does it play that way on Media Day, too?
Oh yeah, I mean Alabama Day is a circus. it's absolutely nuts because you got fans in the lobby looking, waiting to just see Nick Saban and the players for 2 minutes. But you can feel a buzz. Nick Saban knows that. He usually takes advantage of that and hops up on a pedestal and rants and raves about something or two things that matter to him. In terms of on the field, it is Alabama and everybody else. I don't think the gap is as wide as others do. I think, we all saw in the national title game last year that Alabama was flawed. And, we all wrote it. We talked about it. We all knew it. You could watch Alabama games and know that they were one-dimensional by choice and necessity. They just hid their issues better than everybody else. But in terms of star power right now, without a Manziel or a Tebow, Cam Newton never went to Hoover because he only played 1 year. But without a bona fide superstar like that, it's Nick, and then everybody else is, I wouldn't say a letdown, but, they have to prove to you that they're entertaining and that they matter. Nick Saban walks in and he does.
Jimbo Fisher this week kind of laid the smack down, to use a wrestling term, because some of this is pretty well staged and prepared and the like. And he went right out there and said, well, the ACC has proven it's the best conference in the country. Forever it's been the SEC, and if you go into SEC country and try and compare any other conference to you, they'll either laugh at you or kick you in the teeth. If you say something other than that, Jimbo Fisher, not afraid to go there. Is he just playing the heel, or do you think he's actually got some gravitas and the ability to say something like that?
Well, he's right. At least as of right now, because last time we saw an ACC team play, they won a national championship over an SEC team. And a couple of days earlier, you saw a Florida State team beat Michigan in a New Year's Six Bowl. And then you saw Lamar Jackson take out Heisman. And then you saw on rivalry weekend, Georgia Tech beat Georgia, Clemson beat South Carolina. That's real. Florida State beat Florida. So that's real. But I think conference power A is kind of a relic of the past. It mattered a whole lot more in the BCS era when, perception really, really mattered. It still sort of matters. It obviously still matters in the college football playoff era, but nowhere close to what it did in the BCS era. It's so cyclical. It's so fluid. You have a bunch of hotshot coaches in the ACC kind of burst on the scene, and they had some really good teams. Well, the same could be said for the SEC 4 or 5 years ago. A lot of the SEC's coaches have not figured out how to sustain success, and that's the biggest thing that I think is holding the conference back. That and last year they had a lot of young, immature, inexperienced quarterbacks. Those guys can grow up. A lot of them will grow up. So, Jimbo's right. Right now, the ACC's got it. I think a lot of these coaches know and understand how fluid those situations are. So when they get the chance to say it and have it be factually accurate, they're going to say it.
And again, as we've already discussed here, always recruiting. When you recruit, you're always recruiting. There is no downtime from recruiting. The reason why I liked what Jimbo did was Saturday, September 2nd, Alabama, Florida State. If you're going to walk the walk, then talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, and we get to see ACC versus the SEC week one against two teams that can legitimately think they got a chance of winning a national title this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game down here in Atlanta. Both of those teams have top five rosters. I think both of those teams also have flaws. Alabama has to stretch the field and replace a bunch of defensive players. Florida State is a pretty bad offensive line, and they've got their fair share of defensive players to replace too, although not as much as Alabama. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a huge day, and he's going to get to prove it. And then on top of that, you're talking about it from a conference perspective, you've got Tennessee playing Georgia Tech that Monday night in that same building. You've got Clemson and Auburn in week two in Clemson. Both of those teams are going to be top 10 teams. So then you've got rivalry weekend at the end of the year when four conference inter-conference matchups take place. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun start, fun end of the season. We'll see what the ACC is made of. But, I mean, Florida State, Alabama, I mean, you're talking about a game. They're calling it the GOAT, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, but they're calling it the GOAT, the greatest of all time in terms of kickoff games. And it's kind of hard to argue against it, really. I mean, because I would be floored if that is not a legit top five matchup when the polls come out, I guess, in a couple weeks here.
And is this, because anybody's college football, talking about college football on the air for years, anyone's ever done this, is the loser eliminated from the potential championship conversation of that game? We always say, if you're going to lose, you want to lose early. Well, you can't lose any earlier than September 2nd, but that kind of loss is certainly going to be so well covered and so well hyped and the like. If someone gets beat here by double-digit points, is their season, as far as a championship possibility, over?
No. In fact, I think it's the exact opposite. I mean, it's the greatest of all time in terms of matchup. It has, I would say, a very small chance to have playoff ramifications. Because if Florida State goes out and runs the table, finishes 11-1, and goes and wins the ACC championship game in Charlotte, they're not going to hold a loss to Alabama against them, most likely. I mean, obviously, it depends on the landscape of the sport at that time and, you know, if there are other undefeated teams out there. But they'd be the top one loss team, no doubt. And the same can be said for Alabama if they run the game at the SEC and went out and Florida State is, you know, still pretty good. So, it's a huge game, there is no doubt. But in terms of playoff ramifications, I don't think it would have really much impact at all, because I do think in college football this year, a lot like last year, you're going to have a lot of one-loss teams. I don't think it's going to be the most crisply played season, so you're going to have some flawed teams out there, and that sort of lends itself to a one-loss team, and potentially even a two-loss team if they lose that game in a conference game and still win their conference to slide into the playoff and have a chance in the national championship.
Barrett, last thing, my friends over at Bovada LV, offshore gambling site, sent me the odds for college football teams to win their conference yesterday. No great surprise, Florida State's even money to win the ACC. Alabama is less than even money to win the SEC. USC is slightly less than even money to win the Pac-12. I was a little surprised that Ohio State is as significant a favorite, 5-6, less than even money, to win the Big 12 this year, with Wisconsin, with Michigan, and Penn State returning Barkley and a bunch of other kids who have a chance to be really good coming off the end of the season they had last year. Is Ohio State that good that they should be the odds-on favorite to win the Big 10?
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to odds, I get it, because they've earned the benefit of the doubt of plugging holes. Urban Meyer has, for lack of a better term, Alabama-ized that roster. You know, it is as plug-and-play gets. However, you know, you're right. You mentioned all the teams. Penn State is going to be so much fun. I mean, Penn State's going to be a really fun team to watch. And I think they are way more likely to win the Big Ten than people realize, certainly more likely than Michigan. So, I think it's because Ohio State at this point in Urban Meyer's career there has consistently done this. I mean, I think it was it was the 2014 season. Ezekiel Elliott was somewhat of a question mark going into that game. They had no idea what the quarterback was doing. They had a bunch of young guys like Curtis Samuel and other receivers that no one even heard of or really knew of unless you pay attention to recruiting. So, and they won a national championship. So the residual effect of that, I think, is why Vegas just sort of says, all right, y'all get the benefit of the doubt. Even with all of these new players, they're all really good players. So I get why they're the favorite in terms of Vegas, but Would I bet on Ohio State with those odds? Absolutely not.
Barrett, good stuff. We appreciate you coming on board. We'll certainly touch base as the season gets underway and the like. Looking forward to grabbing you and putting you up a couple times during the upcoming season.
All right. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Barrett Salee, college football writer, just joined us here at CBS. You'll be checking him out on CBSSports.com all year long, you college football fans.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.